Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew, Dave Romero and Tomas Mauricio here today. No Heath Elson Sonic couldn't make it. The Christmas holidays must have ate him up. Probably had too much something pie and turkey. Yeah, something made him. All right, let's not make it personal here, Tomas. Listen, we have all kinds of Saints stuff we didn't get to. And the first hour just flew by. Another hour, wall-to-wall Saints talk. Matter of fact, we always, it's my fault. I blame it on you because you don't remind me.
And you that's my phone number, Dave.
The graffiti hotline. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to apologize to a couple people because we got a couple of calls after the deadline. So listen, you have to get your calls in before, let's say, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock Eastern on Tuesdays.
Right.
So that's why I always encourage people to call the hotline, 701-901-1295. Listen, call the hotline like after the game when your thoughts are fresh and, you know, maybe Monday, whenever it is, you could be lying in bed and you just can't fall asleep because you're so excited about the big Saints win. Dial the number up and give us your thoughts. Try to keep it under a minute. Remember, it's a graffiti hotline. It's a recorded message. Just leave your message and we put it on the show.
Keep it short. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. It's going on the air. We broadcasting out
That's
here.
That's right.
You know,
we
spreading the word from, including the internet. Yep. From the entire planet. I mean, it's the entire planet we cover.
Uh-huh.
I mean, matter of fact, that's something we talked about, the website. Maybe we have to start working on. I know you got a couple of more than I do because I only got the one language, and I'm not very good at that one.
Uh-huh.
But we have to get international. Maybe we have to have our French version, you know.
Bonjour?
The Hawaiian version, you know, learn that language. And then we learn, like, English so that the people over in England can No?
Well, you know British already. You know a little British.
I know a little British.
Yeah. What's your line?
Oh, welcome everyone to the smolting contest.
No, that's not the one.
No, that's not the one you're talking about.
Dilly Dilly.
All right. Dilly Dilly. Listen.
They have two new commercials.
They do,
on that.
And they're getting clever with it.
I like the one with Merlin, the magician.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I
saw the one where, is that the one where he had something and he turned it into a bunch of boxes of a Bud Light? Yeah. I saw the one with the dungeon.
That's the one. Wait, you came back?
Yeah, you came back.
I went to get some beer.
And he came back. That'd be you. Go back and get some beer. Listen, you know what? Something, I was looking at the statistics here during the break. 15%. The Saints were on third down conversions, man.
Yeah,
2 for 13. And things, we've been struggling all year with it. And
but fourth down, we're like 100%.
Yeah, fourth down, 100%. We're a little short on that at 1 for 2. Having said that, I don't remember the second one we did. You know what, though? So here's what happens. You don't realize it, but what they do is, like, you look at plays and then the guy kneels down. You know, we start kneeling the ball with like 2.5 minutes left in the game.
That's true.
And then
true.
You don't realize sometimes, like, how did he get this or how did he get that set? Well, when you're winning, that's the only thing I can imagine, because I remember the fourth down attempt.
Yeah.
Where we made it. Yeah. Drew Brees fumbles the ball, bobbles the ball, gets it, and Mark still makes it in spite of everything. Powers through and gets the first down.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I tell you what. We started talking. Let's go ahead and take one of these hotline calls and get that rolling.
Hey, this is Will Dice. So the dome was rocking. I mean, it was really loud inside the dome. It affected the Falcons. I mean, Saints fans, we are freaking awesome. Okay? I was really looking forward to being at the game and then going out and buying my division champion T-shirt. But stupid Bucks failed us and lost to the Panthers. So I'll go ahead and order my shirt next week, and I'm looking forward to it. Who that?
Yeah, hey, you know what? It might have been delayed for a week, but Lil Dice, thank you for the call. I'm pretty confident that next week will. It's just, man, the most competitive division in football. We're in it. We're going to end up 12-4 and not secure anything until the very last week of the season.
That's it. And you know what? Well, if you watch that game, the Carolina-Tampa game, Tampa should have won the game. I mean, you know, again, Carolina gets a bounce here, a bounce there, and, you know, they make the first down, first and goal, with just a few seconds left in the game. The snap comes back, and it rolls back to Donkey Boy.
You know?
And he... It could have rolled over to the right, could have rolled over to the left, could have, you know. No, it rolled right to him.
Right.
And he stumbled forward. He stumbled over.
Do you remember the game where Dante Culpepper did the same thing for the Vikings?
Yes,
and I think it cost us a playoff spot.
Yes.
Same thing. He drops the ball. He fumbles it around. He picks it up and then runs it to the end zone for a touchdown, man. One of the most disheartening. Like, you know, you at least want to see some resistance.
Yes,
you absolutely know, and that one right there is frustrating. And I've said this 2 weeks in a row. Tampa Bay's played Atlanta and Carolina. Both weeks I'm pulling for them. They played them. They played them tough, but man, you can see why they lose, because when you're actually looking at it from a fan's perspective, from that team, they make so many boneheaded mistakes. And you know, I've said this a million times. It's not my original idea, but sometimes teams just beat themselves. If you're a good team, you say, listen, we're going to go out there, we're going to play football. We're not going to really push the ball down the field. We're not going to try a bunch of fancy stuff. We're not going to blitz a whole bunch, because the other team will beat themselves.
Yep.
The quarterback will run into the running back, and they'll fumble, and we'll get a ball right there, and we'll be inside the 30-yard line.
That's what makes this game dangerous for us, because they can be looking at this game saying, you know what?
We've got nothing to lose.
We've got nothing to lose here, and it's the Saints. We can keep them from winning it all.
Right.
You know, so right. It's going to be a dangerous game.
No, absolutely. The thing about it is Tampa Bay.
Which is why
we
have to think about Don Bobo.
Do you think we need to bring Don Bobo back just for this game?
You know, I'm thinking might have to sacrifice some crab legs to Don Bobo.
You know, we put Don Bobo on the shelf. I felt like we put a lot of pressure on him. He came through.
Yeah.
He got us, I mean, a huge part of the season.
Well, I think now we're looking at the end of the season. We're looking at playoffs. Perhaps we need a little juju.
Big time. I tell you what, we'll get them warmed up.
All right, we'll get them warmed up.
We'll get them warmed up, and we'll get that whole thing.
For the playoffs. We'll get it for the playoffs.
I know, but here's the thing. You got to get them warmed up.
All right.
So I don't think we should wait till the playoffs.
Well, go ahead then.
I think we should bring it back now.
Okay.
Oh, Don Bobo.
Don Bobo.
Don Bobo, the god of the Achilles heel injury.
No.
And what else?
Whatever else.
Plantar fasciitis.
I got that.
Yeah. If you could have the cheerleaders from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers keep the players up a little bit too late Saturday night.
I understand what
doing
that's about.
Things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I understand
so that they can't play at maximum efficiency.
But you have to be careful now, because you're treading into that, you know, sexual misconduct.
Okay.
You know,
so. Don Bobo, allow them to bring their lawyer and some documentation
just to
make sure that everything's on the up and up. We don't want anybody getting in trouble unnecessarily.
We don't want to interview Billy Bush. All right.
Yeah. None of that. None of that. All right. So you ready to do some scenarios?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do some scenarios. Okay. So check this out. There are so many different scenarios. We can go with the most, the most obvious ones, I should say.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing we're going to do is just go ahead and put this out here right now. In no scenario can Philadelphia or Minnesota
not
Philadelphia already has number home
one.
Field advantage locked up.
Yeah, number
Minnesota,
one.
number two, locked up. So there's no need to really mess with the scenarios. Where the scenarios start getting interesting is the third seed. So the first one we'll do here is we have New Orleans. So we're going to assume that New Orleans wins and the Rams lose.
Right.
And in this scenario, we're going to have Atlanta winning because they're the home team.
Okay.
All right. So if Atlanta wins, New Orleans wins, the Rams lose, New Orleans becomes the third seed, and they're playing the Falcons in the wild card round.
Right.
Then the Rams at the fourth seed would be playing Carolina.
Right. Now, here's a little interesting tidbit for that.
All right.
Rams coach Sean McVay told the media in Thousand Oaks, California, that he will probably rest his starters for the season finale against the 49ers. Getting guys healthy is more important than a 3 or a 4 seed, McVay said.
Wow. Okay, so I was going to wait till a little later to bring this up, but I think that's – when did he say that? Today?
Today.
Okay,
let me tell you, because
this went through my mind, and if you don't think it went through his mind, is whoever the fourth seed is, if they win, they'll be playing at home. If they win, that team goes to Philadelphia, who looks like straight booty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, don't tell me. You brought that up, man. What an interesting thing.
Yep.
He's thinking the same thing we are.
Yeah.
If I'm the third seed.
He's thinking long term.
Yeah, if I'm the third seed and I end up going to winning.
Yeah.
I'm going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I can't beat.
One plays 4 and 3 plays 2.
Right. I'm not saying I can't beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
But which one looks like the more beatable team?
Yeah.
So
Philly.
Wow. I can't believe, man. No doubt in my mind, he's thinking the same thing that I'm thinking is, I'd rather be the fourth seed. We win at home, then we're going to Philadelphia. Then after that, it's the NFC Championship game. So anyway, interesting, Tomas.
But
very
even
interesting.
More so because if we win at the third seed, okay, and the Rams win at the fourth seed, then it's one place four and two place three.
Right.
Now, if the Rams beat Philly and the Saints beat the Vikings, that means the championship game will be
in New Orleans.
In the dome.
Yeah, so there's one benefit.
Even better.
A benefit of having the three seed.
That's what I'm saying.
So, okay, so let's continue on with the scenarios here.
All right, that's the best scenario.
All right, so in this scenario, at this point, this part doesn't matter if the Saints, if the Rams win or lose and three or four. What I'm talking about is if Carolina wins instead of Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's out.
That's right.
And assuming that Seattle wins.
That's right. Okay, they have to win.
Seattle
Atlanta
wins.
Atlanta still be in if Seattle loses.
Yeah, if Seattle loses, but let's assume right. In this scenario, Seattle wins. Seattle wins, Atlanta loses. Seattle's in, Atlanta's out.
That's
now,
correct.
Atlanta would now, Seattle would now be playing the Saints, assuming they're
that's
the
correct.
Third seed.
That's correct.
And then the Panthers still playing the Rams in the fourth seed.
That's correct.
Okay, so now that's where it's interesting because Atlanta's got to win, or they're out. Well, you know, again,
no.
They can hope that
they
Seattle loses.
If Seattle loses, they're in still.
All right, so Seattle is playing Arizona at home. Listen, you want to talk about Bubby Brister, they got one playing in Arizona right now as well. So when it's all said and done, I don't see Seattle losing, especially when the game matters and it means nothing to Arizona and they're playing in Seattle.
Yeah.
So in this situation, if the Saints win and the Rams lose, the Saints, number three seed, and from what you just said about McVay, sounds to me that they already made plans to try to throw that game.
Yeah.
And the Saints have no choice. The Saints have to win. Because if the Saints lose, so I guess that's another scenario. The Saints lose and Carolina wins.
Carolina wins the division.
Yeah, the Saints are now a wild card team, and they're no longer a division winner.
Right.
So I'm going to have to look at it as it sounds to me like the Rams are going to throw the game. They're going to try to get their home game wild card-wise. Head over to Philadelphia, spank Philadelphia, and then hopefully in our situation, we're going to go up and play Minnesota, which I will say this. If healthy, the Saints are a different team than they were.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only do they have these young guys with some more experience, they now have Crowley on the field.
That's correct.
They now have our offensive line in shape that wasn't. We would have Armstead. Now, that's assuming. I'm looking at it. He had a little pull. He pulled up lame. They sent him to the locker room. He'll be back for the playoffs. So now you have Armstead back.
Yeah.
You have the offensive line intact. I just think that, again, I'm not trying to say that Minnesota's any kind of pushover because, honestly, they, to me, are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, so
you know, excluding the Saints, they are the team I least want to play. But if you got to play them, let's get it over with.
But, however, here's what I would say to you. Compared to when we first played them, when we first played them, we had a defensive backfield that was lost. They had no clue how to play anything.
Right.
Okay, now we have a very solid defensive backfield. Okay. On the defensive line, we had a defensive line of players who were still
trying to find their way through.
Exactly. Now, you know what? Our defense, easily 100% better than when we played them earlier in the season. Easily. Our offense, we don't have Adrian Peterson. We don't have to worry about featuring Adrian Peterson.
They didn't have to contend with Kamara. That's a good point.
So now you got Kamara. I'm just saying to you, I feel pretty good. I still think Minnesota's the best team in the league. But
in the entire league or in the NFC?
The entire league.
You think they're number one in the league? Okay.
I think they're better than any AFC team. I'm sorry, New England and Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Okay.
I think Minnesota.
I'm not arguing with you. I was just clarifying.
Position for position, with the exception of Bubby Brister at quarterback.
Right.
But he's been playing. You know, you have to admit things. You know, he's not Kurt Warner. He's not coming like Kurt Warner did it for the Rams the year that Trent Green went down. But he's still playing a hell of a season, you know. So I don't really see deficiencies in Minnesota's game.
No, Minnesota's just very good top to bottom.
Yeah.
A solid running team. They're a solid passing team. But really, their bread and butter is their defense. Their defense pounds you and pounds you and pounds you, forces you into mistakes.
Now, the weakness that they do have is their running game. I mean, because their number one draft choice out for the season, so yeah, Cook's not there. And Latavius Murray?
Yes.
He's banged up.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, I'm just simply saying they're solid. They're not they don't
have
if you're
making one-dimensional. My point is, if you don't have a running game that can at least get you a few yards here and there,
sure.
You shut down the running game, say, okay, Case Keenum beats with a pass.
I think if the Saints play Minnesota this time, it would be a huge defensive struggle.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And the team that makes the least amount of mistakes and that kind of stuff, you know, the team that
actually – But I feel good. Yeah. I feel good about it.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think we can compete with any of them.
Yes, yes.
But having said that, golly, you would really like to at least meet those guys in the NFC Championship game versus, you know, last thing you want to do is meet them in the first round of the playoffs and one of the two best teams has to go. Yeah. But here, we have to hit a break. But, man, this is exciting talk. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
That's Lil Dice, friend of the show, but a long time ago. But hey, Lil Dice, man, you told me it's good. I think it's pretty good, man. All right, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, the BS and Beer Podcast crew here on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
The Blowtorch.
The Blowtorch. Listen, Tomas, when we left the last segment, man, there's just so much stuff to talk about. You brought to my attention, and I mean, I'm still kind of shocked.
About the McVay thing, huh?
Sean McVay he's going to throw the game so that he can go to
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia played very poorly. I have no doubt in my mind they are now, of all the playoff teams, literally, you know what, maybe them in Atlanta might be, but as far as the Saints can beat them.
But now he's counting his chickens before they hatch, because what happens if Carolina, I mean.
No, and that's what I'm expecting. You know? What I'm expecting is, get Carolina, because listen, I don't respect Carolina. This isn't a Cam Newton rant.
Yeah.
This is just the fact that, man, if you take out the Saints games, Carolina is a beast. Nobody,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They've beaten everybody.
They have the same record we do.
And I'm sitting here thinking that, you know what, we have their number. And I don't mean that, because when I say that, that kind of sounds like, oh,
it's the matchup
just,
issue.
It's the matchups, man. We have the matchups. And not just by a little bit. We have the matchups that cause blowouts.
Yeah.
That we win by, you know, 12 points. Yeah,
and
13,
the Rams aren't undefeated.
Right. No.
Okay. So.
And so if you end up getting Carolina.
And they lost an offensive lineman. You got Julius Peppers playing the last year of his career, you know, with Carolina.
Yeah.
He pumps it up, you know.
I mean, I can easily
and
see
you
that.
You got a quarterback who doesn't have that kind of experience. I mean, at least Cam Newton has experience. He's played in playoffs. He's played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard people talking about that this morning on the NFL Network. And quite frankly,
don't even get me started on the NFL Network.
Quite frankly, I could see Carolina. I could see Atlanta. I don't know if Atlanta could beat the Rams, because the Rams are physical and good.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But Carolina,
I can see Carolina, give them
Carolina
a game.
Can beat any one of those teams. So let's say at this point, if we ideally, right, if we're number three and we play Atlanta, right, which would be the situation if we're number three. The Rams have to play Carolina. So not only do they have to play Carolina, Carolina beats them.
Right.
Then Carolina would probably go up to Philadelphia and beat Philadelphia.
That's correct.
If we handle our business against – oh, man, but the negative of that. Oh, well, let me finish that thought, though. If we go up to Minnesota, beat Minnesota, then we're playing the Panthers in the Superdome for the NFC Championship game. The negative of that is if we can't get past – Minnesota, then that means Carolina's in the championship game playing for a visit to the Super Bowl.
If Carolina beats the Rams.
Okay.
Okay. And we beat Atlanta, then you have two NFC South teams in the semifinals of the NFL game. And then if they win their games, let's say Carolina wins their game, Saints win. Then you have the two NFC South teams playing for the championship.
Well, that's
does that say about the kind of power?
Just, and it is very it's it
now,
could be.
Let me. I was kind of saving this for my rant, but we're gonna keep talking about other things. So I'm gonna condense this into a quick 15-second rant. Every show I watched after the Sunday game, every NFL show, did not mention the Saints. Every one of these damn
commentators. Well, Atlanta, you got to be careful for Atlanta because, you know, Atlanta still got something. Atlanta. And Carolina, you know, oh, Carolina, you don't want to play Carolina. You know, every they have Carolina winning the division. All these people like Carolina winning the division. I'm like, dude, we're not playing Minnesota. We're playing Tampa Bay. You know, I couldn't believe it. And you know what? When I calmed down, I was like, you know what? Fine. I want them to continue to underestimate our Saints. Sure, you're absolutely right. The Falcons are much better than we are. We only beat them one out of two, so yeah, yeah. And Carolina, I mean, hell, they're much better than we are. We just wiped them off the field two times, but that's okay, no problem. You know, so that when we sneak up, now, this is what my rant is going to be. The wagon is full. For all these people who now want to jump on the wagon, these three men that you're listening to today, my friends, we all picked the Saints. We all had them winning double digits. None of us got off the bandwagon when we were 0-2. Matter of fact, if you go back and listen to the show, I still said 10 or 11 wins. No problem. So, all you other people, stay on the sideline.
So, there you go. So we don't need to break out that application for the bandwagoners. There's just no more room left
no
on the bandwagon.
No more room for anybody.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We have a hotline call we need to get to, and if you want to be part of the show, and we love when you guys call us on the hotline.
What's that number, Dave?
701-901-1295.
And that's it.
Give us a call. Be part of the show. It makes it more interactive, makes it more interesting. You can also hit me up on Twitter at SaintsBS. So at SaintsBS. And Tomas?
BS and Beer. Who dat?
Okay. And one last thing, the email address, bsnbeer at iCloud.com. You can always get in touch with us. We love talking to you guys.
There you go.
So please jump on one of
those.
Don't
hesitate.
Don't hesitate. Okay, let's get to the hotline call.
Hey, it's Wesley, TX13. Not going to say too much about the game on Sunday. Did exactly what we needed to do against the Clowns. The butt kick was amazing. Got to give it to Lattimore. For as much as it can be an accident and all that, he was certainly purposely using his right leg to block the ball and all. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Looking forward, you know, we got to win this next weekend, clinch the division, and I'll say our team this past weekend looks like we are ready for the playoff. I am not scared at all of the Eagles. They look terrible. You know, the Rams barely beat us when we played, you know, a terrible offensive game and didn't have Lattimore or Crowley playing, so I would welcome a rematch with them in any stadium.
Absolutely.
You know, the Vikings look tough. That would be the one for us to see where we've judged, where we've come from the first game of the year to now. And I'm not really scared of Case Keenum. If we get down
Bobby
to Breeze versus him, I'm extremely confident in that. I want to hear what you guys think about how we match up in the playoffs with some other teams. And then, you know, of course, the Clowns and the Panties and the Sea Chickens, any of them, I welcome any of them to come down to the Dome and face that crowd that we had this past weekend. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah. The butt fumble, we haven't given that nearly enough love, man. That's gonna be an all time great play.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like
been
at least
over and
for
over,
the Saints.
Though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, you mentioned what there was one forced fumble and a butt fumble.
Yeah, the butt fumble when Freeman went into the line trying to score, and he ran into the butt of his center, and then we had the butt crack interception.
Now you had to take it to a whole nother level,
well, that's
right?
That's what it was, man. Look, you know, all these people, well, I don't know, his gluteus maximus. But let's say it like it is. The ball was hanging on his butt crack. And luckily, let me tell you what, Marcus Williams came up, and he actually pushed the ball back up on his butt
crack.
Yeah,
no, he intentionally. A lot of times you see these guys running for the punt and get it on the one-yard line. They knock it in. He consciously held it up on Lattimore's back while he was flying it through. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast. Don't go
butt
anywhere.
Crack.
97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now
me too.
It's the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back, man. It's been an action-packed show. I mean, man, it's just, yeah. There's so, I'm literally, you were talking in the last segment, and I literally got excited. Yeah. I mean, it's just all these different scenarios going on. The McVay.
That really got you going.
No, man, that's just like this
guy. When I first read it, I was like, oh, dude, really?
So I mean, it's I would almost say a foregone conclusion. The Saints are going to have to go into Tampa Bay. They have to win. So it's not like the Saints can go in there and play.
We can't worry about anything else.
Yeah, we have to win.
We just have to focus, go into Tampa Bay, play our game, win the game.
And we will. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, the Rams are sitting there saying, well, you know, man, I don't know if we really need to win the game. We can rest some guys because, you know, having a third or fourth spot. Right, and you know they're sitting there watching the Oakland Raiders just take even though they lost, a better team beats Philadelphia in that game.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
the Raiders
absolutely.
Couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
So I just.
And especially when the Raiders use the same thing that the Giants used against Philadelphia.
With that double move.
The double move.
Yeah, that slant. Boy.
And I could see Ginn doing that, and I was like, whoop, he'd be off to the races.
Well, I mean, it just at this point, it doesn't seem like Philadelphia can move the ball anymore. Man, I tell you what, Carson Wentz,
in quarterback.
Wentz needs to go right now, and just like he'd be over there at the office and be like, hey, I need to talk about this contract.
There
but
you go.
I mean,
there
you just
go.
Realize how good he is. I mean, because I'm not trying to say that Philadelphia doesn't have good personnel because they do, but it does say a lot about how important. The quarterback,
it's
regardless,
a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah, and it's just listen. You don't have a quarterback that can
Francisco.
Hold it all together.
That's
oh
the
my
best
God!
Example.
Another one.
The best example. San Francisco's got nothing. All of a sudden, Jimmy G comes in,
and all of a sudden, it's like, oh well, this guy's pretty good, and that guy's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know,
he lifted up everybody on that team.
Absolutely.
Suddenly, got four wins in a row. And no. You're like, really?
I mean, look, they dropped 44. Now I know it wasn't all offensive points. They dropped 44 points on Jacksonville.
Yeah,
who's the new hot. You know, shiny new toy. Man, and the thing is, they deserve it. I'm not trying to pick on Jacksonville because their defense has been amazing. And because of that defense and a tough running game, their whole team just, man, they get up on these guys. Now, I don't know if that strategy will be effective against really good teams, playoff teams, because, man, everybody in the playoffs has a pretty good defense.
Yes.
The difference is if you can't make a couple of plays, or conversely, when you get in the pressure from a team that has a pretty good defense and then you make that mistake, which
Bortles
made quite a few.
That's what happened in his last game.
Everybody's like, oh, Bortles doesn't look that bad. Well, you know what? When you have a strong running game, a strong defense, you're not put in a position to make mistakes, all of a sudden you get down, you have to be that guy, and then mistakes start coming out.
Yeah.
So my point is, I don't see Jacksonville going very far. And matter of fact, while there was a point where I started buying into the whole Blake Bortles thing,
no.
As soon as you can see
and
it.
And they lost
the receiver, Jalen Strong.
Right.
He's from Arizona.
Right.
The reason I remember that is because I really like that guy.
Yeah.
Well, they must have traded him from Houston because Houston had him for.
I guess. I don't know. But I know that he's out, and that's one of their big guns.
Yeah, he had already had a good game with like a touchdown and quite a few yards or what have you. All right. Now, Tomas, I thought the McVay thing was interesting, but you came up with another piece of information that I thought was pretty stunning.
Yes, sir. Now, I got this Sports Beers retweeted it from somebody else. But I found this very interesting. In 2014, 15, and 16, the Saints, while doing their training at Greenbrier, were 7-9, three consecutive years. In those same 3 years, the Texans were 9-7.
So the exact opposite.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, this year, the Texans are went to Greenbrier, and they are currently 4-11.
4-11.
And the Saints that didn't go to Greenbrier are now 11-4.
Amazing. It's amazing.
There you go. The numbers don't lie.
No. You got to.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I just found it kind of interesting.
No, that's. I mean, that's really.
That could be on that. You know, what's the show? The alien show? The.
Dang it. Now I can't remember. It's Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens.
Could be one of those, you know.
You know, man, we better start getting a residual check. I'm sure people are like, I got to check this show out, man.
Yeah. Well.
So, you know, that's what. Anyway, listen.
We can put a rollover on our webpage again for Ancient Aliens.
This webpage that we don't have yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Heath. Get on a stick, brother.
Yeah. Hey, so listen. We have some more clips from the post-game show,
all right,
from Drew Brees. So let's listen to some more stuff Drew Brees had to say about the win against the Atlanta Falcons. Huge game. We mentioned a little early in the show how loud it was in the Superdome for this game. I mean, it really felt like a playoff game. And, you know, to me, and again, I mentioned it earlier, It felt like a, I mean, the importance of this game, and it just felt like one of the bigger games the Saints have played in the Breeze Peyton era. Let's see what Drew says about the atmosphere in the Superdome.
I felt like this was top three. loudest atmosphere is just electric. I mean, from the very first series, consistently through the whole game, man, it was awesome. Our fans deserve this win. They got this one for us.
One of the guys who's been, underappreciated in the Saints locker room by the outside media, the national media, has been Cam Jordan. But I don't think he's underappreciated by Drew Brees.
I don't think Cam Jordan gets enough credit. You know, he's really been a mainstay for us, you know, for a long time now. And even during, you know, some of these tough seasons that we had previous to this one, you know, he was so consistent, you know, week in and week out with his preparation, his practice habits, and the way he would play on Sundays. And I'm just glad that, you know, we've got pieces around him now that can help him shine even more and maybe start getting some of that credit that he deserves.
One of the guys who's been a real surprise for me, pleasant surprise, Ted Ginn Jr. Now, coming in, I knew that he could fill the role that we needed, that Devery Henderson, get down the field, stretch the defense, and make some big plays. But my concern was always that he seemed to struggle catching the ball. This year, it hasn't been much of a struggle at all. He's caught most everything thrown at him. Let's see what Drew Brees talks about his impact on the offense.
Hey, listen, Ted is not only a guy who can run. I mean, obviously that's what he was known for, you know, when he first came in this league. But, I mean, I feel like he is a guy that, you know, has the whole route tree. You know, he can do everything we ask him to do, and he's proven that this season. Really done a great job. He's a great pro, too. You know, I always say, you know, he's a coach's kid. You know, dad, longtime coach up in Ohio. Those are my favorite kind of guys, you know, because they're a little bit old school, and Teddy's got some old school. But, man, he knows how to have a good time, but he knows when it's time to work, and I love his preparation. I love his game day presence. You know, I love everything about him.
Drew was also asked how impressed he was with this Saints team starting the season 0-2 and now in a position that they're one game away from winning the division title.
Very much so. I think that we've won in a lot of different ways. I think we've overcome a lot, especially early on when you guys were all asking us how we felt about another 0-2 start, you know. But, you know, we stayed true to, you know, what we felt like was our process and the winning formula, and we knew that our time would come, and we were able to rattle off 8 in a row, and then here we are, you know, poised to win the division if we, you know, with one more win. So it's all in front of us. We control our destiny, and, you know, it's a good feeling. But, you know, what I appreciate about this team is that, you know, each and every week we're still striving for that best game. And obviously the games only get bigger, the wins only get sweeter, and we realize that.
All right, so there we go, Tomas. Brees, he likes Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan, I mean, this is by far the best season that he's had as a Saint in his career.
Because he has people around him.
Yeah, I mean, look, he has guys to take the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
And he's just 3 sacks. This yesterday,
yeah.
I mean, unbelievable that he can't be blocked. Matter of fact, I wonder if he wasn't from a bigger market. I mean, he's as unblockable as Watt from Houston. I mean, listen, Watt, amazing player, and you know, like, he's a little bit bigger than Cam, so I think he's a little bit more disruptive. But having said that, I don't know why Cam isn't
a little more finesse, man. If you watch some of the things that he does. You know, with his hands. It's how he uses his hands that really makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, you stick in I see the offensive lineman sticking their hand, trying to punch, trying to, you know, make an impact. And Cam just like, and next thing you know, you're just trying to get your hands up, and you can't, he's just knocking them away.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole time, super quick, as he's moving up the field.
Yep.
I tell you, it's been impressive. And I just, man, listen, the future of this Saints team, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's just the thought that came through my mind as we were talking. The future of the Saints right now is so bright. We have money to spend. You know, the issue, and this is an issue I've had for a while, I feel like the Saints have wasted, I don't know, 3 or 4 of Breeze's best years. But, man, if he has 2 more years left in him, which I think he does.
I think he has 2 more
years
left.
Man, you're talking about, like, we'll be competing for Super Bowls.
We just need a tight end.
That's it, huh? Tight end, and we're...
Look, Okafor is going to come back. He said he doesn't want to go anyplace else.
Yeah, but will he come back as the same player?
Well, I think he's going to come back at a good price.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be a problem, you know?
But we definitely have to address tight end. We have to address receivers. We need a tight end, and we need somebody to play opposite of Michael Thomas, who's big. We need another one of these big receivers, like a Funchess kind of guy.
But, the kid last night, I had to pick him up in my fantasy league, by the way, won my championship. I've been the leading scorer. I haven't even made the playoffs. I was like two out of 3 years, I was the leading scorer, also the leading team scored against. Finally broke through and won a championship. But one of the guys I had to pick up as a receiver was the kid from Pittsburgh.
Juju.
Bryant. No, Juju's still young.
Martellus Bryant.
And I believe he's a free agent. That would be the type of...
His personality.
Well, and that's not what this is about.
Yeah, it's chemistry. Long. It's about chemistry. We can't make that mistake again.
I just don't know him well enough to think that he doesn't fit in. But, I mean, you may have heard or seen things. I just haven't heard him. Thing about it, though, tall receiver. He's not like a Ted Ginn kind of change direction guy, but he's a tall guy that Breeze likes to get the ball to. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast. When we come back, it's the final segment. It's the picks. Lots of good stuff to talk about. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome in. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It's Tomas Mauricio and Dave Romero today. Look, man, it's an exciting show. It's an exciting time of year. Every game, including the Saints game, but I'm talking about above and beyond the Saints game. It's fun because all these games matter in one way or another that affect the Saints. So now the only negative, though, is fantasy football's over. I won my championship, by the way, if I didn't mention that earlier. But now those things won't be as impactful. But, man, now it's just we're this weekend, last set of games. Then after that, it's the playoffs, baby, and the Saints are in it. We went on all kinds of scenarios that we need to just go over real quick. But before I do, we have struggled on special teams. Our return game has been pretty weak all season, right? And if you're one of those people, I'm sure there's not many of you out there, but if you're one of those people still not quite, is Kamara really that good? The Saints decided that it was important, right? So they take Kamara and they put him on the kickoff return.
Man, that was amazing. That was amazing.
So the guy, two returns, averages 36 yards, and the long is a 49.
Yeah.
Now, look, prior to him, I'm constantly talking to you guys and turn to him like, why do they even bother bringing the ball out? Why don't they just take a knee and get the ball at the 25? Because I am sick of getting the ball at the 17, the 18, the 21, or the 10 because we brought the ball out, got tackled, or even worse than that, there's a penalty. Then all of a sudden, Kamara comes in. He hasn't returned a ball all year. I have no idea if he returned at Tennessee.
I don't know either.
But the point is the dude walks in, they kick the ball to him, and next thing you know, he's gone. He gets the ball out.
Yeah, but it's the way he played it. He'd come up to where all the massive people were, and he's like, okay, maybe to the left and right, and there he goes. And you're like, how the hell he got out of there?
It's just so smooth. He just zips around.
That's the word, smooth, man.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the way he does everything that he's been part of.
And when he's moving, he doesn't even look like he's running hard.
No,
he looks like he's kind of just drifting along, you know, like waiting to turn to the next gear.
I said that when we first got him. And I'm like, okay, this guy's going to kind of be our new satellite back, you know. And he catches the ball, he runs. It just didn't seem like he ran very fast. And whatever it is, it's so smooth. He doesn't look kind of like just the opposite, though, but kind of like what's the kid's name? Sproles.
No.
Sproles. His feet move so fast, he wasn't really – now, he was super quick because every step he can change direction. Yeah. But the point is –
steps only 3 inches apart.
Yeah, those little short legs. Yeah, I mean, his legs move so fast, and he changed direction
Whereas
so
Kamara
well.
Whereas Kamara just kind of strolling just opposite. Along,
but
know?
Both of them, neither one of them looked the same as what they – I don't know if I'm making any sense here. But to me, Sproles looked like he was moving at the speed of light just because his feet move so fast. Kamara is just the opposite. He's so smooth, he just doesn't look that fast, but he is.
He's moving it.
Yeah, he's moving. Yeah. You can see it. Guys missing their angles when they're trying to tackle him. And, you know, sooner or later, because now I'm starting to see it. You're starting to see double teams. You're starting to see no matter where he goes, it no longer does he get to sneak up on anybody.
No.
During the Atlanta game, I mean, in the first Atlanta game, they obviously said, look, man, we're going to not let this guy.
There's no linebacker anymore. Yeah. Now in the Atlanta game, they had a safety on.
And they were just – now, having said that, man, he was running wide receiver routes during that game.
Yes,
he ran a slant.
Yeah.
He ran a fade and caught the ball for like 30 yards, and then he ran a crossing route. I think it was – I didn't see the play. I didn't look at the All-22. But he ran up the field, 10, 12-yard range, cut in, and ran a wide receiver route. Now, listen to this. When you get to the point where you can put Kamara in the game as a receiver, now it's like you can put him on the field to essentially rest. The defense doesn't know any better. They have to bring in a linebacker or a safety. Now he's out there lined up as a wide receiver. Now they bring in a safety – and you line them up in the I formation, and now you're undermanned in the run game.
Yep.
I mean, you have no idea if he's capable of running those routes as a defense. You have no idea what the Saints are going to do when he's on the field.
Yep.
And it's really incredible.
Yep, I agree.
I tell you what, it's time to get to the pick'ems. You ready?
I'm ready.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, time to talk some pick 'em here. Listen, I pulled out what I consider all the biggest games that impact the playoffs. So we got San Francisco at the Rams. I got Arizona at Seattle, Carolina at Atlanta, New Orleans at Tampa Bay. What do you think?
All right, sounds good to me.
All right.
We can go with those.
So right off the bat, we can go back to this McVay thing that you enlightened me with is still under my craw. San Francisco going to the Rams. Rams are giving up 4 points.
It's down from 5.5.
Tomas.
The number's going to keep going smaller.
Yeah.
I'm taking San Francisco in this game.
Yeah.
I'm taking Jimmy G, the big difference maker. I see him coming into this game. I see him throwing that ball. I see him making some points. I see the Rams going, hey, it's okay. No problem. Pass me another doobie.
Wow, really? Is that what they're going to be doing? Okay.
It's California.
It's just that is true, right? It's legal. It's not in NFL, but it's legal in California. Anyway, is it legal in California? No, it's Oregon. I don't know, man.
Denver. In Colorado, it's
Denver,
legal.
Oregon.
Oregon is legal.
Yeah. Okay.
Certain parts of California.
Right, now listen,
you need to get a script.
Here's the
just
problem.
Just tell your doc, hey, doc, I'm a little nervous. Now,
here's the problem. Is all kind of people listen to us and packing their bags moving to California now because they think it's legal. So we want to go ahead and put
can't
a disclaimer.
Taxes are too high.
Put a disclaimer on it. Like, you need to find out. We may not be accurate.
And if you're from Louisiana, you like to hunt and fish, you can't go to California. Can't own a gun. No. So, you know what?
Yeah, it's a – all right. So, anyway, I'm going to pick San Francisco, too, because everything you told me makes complete sense that the Rams are going to try to throw this game. So, San Francisco, and not to mention –
who's their backup quarterback?
Who?
The Rams.
The Rams?
They have a backup quarterback?
I thought you were trying to surprise me with one of your ambiguous questions. No, I don't know, and why would I care? Anyway, so that's it. What you get here with the BS and Beer podcast crew, in-depth analysis, right? So, all right. So then you got Arizona at Seattle. Seattle giving up 9 points.
But Seattle has to win.
Has to win.
They have to win in order to put the pressure on Atlanta. Because then if Atlanta loses and Seattle loses, then Atlanta's in. But if Seattle wins, then Atlanta has to win to take that sixth spot.
You give me a headache, man.
Why?
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. You got it. I just
gave you the scenario.
So what's your pick?
Seattle.
Seattle? Yeah. Seattle has to win. 9 points, though. I don't think. Arizona, listen, this is – I joke about this a lot, but this is the time where all these teams that aren't in the playoffs, the last game of the year, man, they've already packed it up. The coaches are even like, hey, I want to get a look at this kid that didn't play much this year. I want to see what we have.
Yeah.
Going into training camp, I want to see if you know, he has enough. I say going into training camp, going into the offseason, I want to see if he has enough to bring him back next year. Or I want to see if this kid's developed
enough.
Well,
they need a replacement for Peterson, so,
yeah. So, yeah. All right, so I think we're in agreement there. Yeah. So, I'm sorry.
Peterson, he's on the injured reserve.
And what? Why do I care about that?
Yeah, okay.
I don't. Because we big buds. I see where you're going with that.
Lord have mercy.
All right. Carolina at Atlanta. Now, here's the thing. You already gave it away in your other pick. the scenario. So you want to do it again? Repeat the scenario. Carolina at Arizona. Carolina wins.
No, Carolina at Atlanta, not at Arizona.
No, no, actually Atlanta is at Carolina.
Oh, yeah, the other way.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah, so Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta has to win.
Okay, check that.
Yeah, but right. So does Carolina
right.
To keep the pressure on the Saints.
Right.
So but both
they flex
of these
the Saints, so the Saints are going
to
be in the
so
same time.
So here's the best case scenario for me. They beat the hell out of each other. One team wins by a point over the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
No, you know, I think that sounds like a pretty good scenario. I can't complain about
it. But since they're playing
that.
In North Carolina, I don't know why.
I love when that. You say that. I mean, now that's their thing. That should just be your thing.
Yeah.
Just North Carolina. Well, I think it is, but not on purpose.
Well,
you just
no, but where's their stadium?
In North Carolina.
Well, there you go.
So, all right. Are we the downtown New Orleans Saints?
That's I guess right, the same we're thing downtown, we are. Brother.
Right. Well, all right. Yeah. Nah, never
mind. So what do you pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
You're going to take Atlanta or Carolina? Which one are you going to take?
I think Carolina. I think Carolina is a better team, and they're going to feel like they need it more. But the type of team with no character like Carolina, they'll be clock watching. They'll be scoreboard watching. So
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
All right.
Carolina's going to win.
Okay.
But Seattle's going to lose, and Atlanta's going to get in the back door.
Oh, yeah, the old back door, huh? Yeah, you always get
there you
it.
Go.
All right, so New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to get 8.5 points.
8.5 points for
yeah,
Tampa
eight,
Bay.
8.5 points.
Now, how many legs does a crab have on it?
I'm not sure. I think,
oh, well,
what
I'm just
is that octopus? I'm not sure about my crustaceans, man.
You're not
I'm,
sure about the crustaceans?
No, not a bit. Not. I don't keep up with my crustaceans.
Well, I'm just going to say this to you. I think that the Saints are going to go and take care of their business. We're going to go in there. I think Tampa Bay will play hard. But at the end of the game, I think we win by 3 touchdowns. So that's what I'm taking. I'm taking the Saints.
Wow. Okay. So just for the sake of
argument.
Yeah. 8.5 points. I think the Saints will beat them. They won't cover the spread. I'm going to say Tampa Bay.
Boo!
Just, you know,
boo!
Man. Listen.
What is that about, man?
Right, listen.
This
I'm just,
is called I'm, BS and Beer. It's a Saints podcast.
It is a Saints
and
podcast.
Radio show.
See, this is why I don't try to. This is why I don't do this. You won't let me have my own opinion. I don't. All right,
your
listen.
Your opinions don't matter. Mine
that's
is the only
all
opinion
the
that
show
matters.
We have for you today. As usual,
we're
thank
out of
you.
Time?
Yeah, we're out of time.
Oh,
thank
man.
You guys for listening. For Heath Elson-San, who's not here today, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. Go Saints, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is. Say so dumb, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.